Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, we begin in the Old Testament and end in the Gospel reading. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts and I will be their God and they shall be my people. Jeremiah 31, 33. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. John 8:36. What does God want? A few Sundays back, we had a sermon that started out, what do you want? And fair is fair, turn it around. What does God want? What does God truly want? And Jeremiah 31:31-34 is a prophecy and holds a promise and opens up the heart of God to us. See, God cares enough about us and draws close enough to us that he opens his very heart. And we find the desire of the Lord revealed to us. What does God want? He desires to have his word written into our hearts, which means that his word becomes part of who we are. And I have to go off on a detour this early on in the sermon. As they talk about the edge and the center. The edge is the don't do. The center is, what does God truly want? The edge being everything that is involved in wandering off from God. Don't eat that. Have no other gods. Do not kill, steal, commit adultery, etc., etc., etc. That's the edge. Don't go there. Don't go there because those things are separation from God. But what does God truly want? And instead of the edge, let's talk about the center. The center being the things that God truly loves. Believing his promises. Coming in prayer and worship. Loving our neighbor. And you see, all through the Old Testament, God beckons toward that center. He knows that he wants his people, the people of Israel, and then the people of the New Testament to be in fellowship with him. And to say it in the terms that we started out as, he wants his word to be written in our hearts. His words and promises written into us so that the eternal word of God becomes part of our very being. So that we have the eternity of God given by his words and promises, that eternity of God within us, and he can have us in his eternity. What does God want? We know what God wants because that is what he said at the very beginning. Let us make man in our image. And to be made in the image of God is to have fellowship with him. To be made in the image of God is to have that eternity together with God. To be made in the image of God is to walk with God through the endless days of eternity. And that's what he truly, truly desires. But of course, everything went wrong. Everything went wrong in life. And in religion, in life, Adam and Eve turned from God and listened to the anti-word and anti-promises of the anti-God and fell into sin. And the very next generation, that generation was already at murder, Cain and Abel. And boy, was that fast. And going wrong at that speed, it kept on going farther and farther off with every generation. Everything went wrong in life. Everything went wrong in religion as the human race kept coming up with ways to claim righteousness and boast in front of God that we deserve eternal life from Him while doing the same things as Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. Or the other option that the human race has taken is being sunk in despair, despairing of any way to know God and stand righteous before Him. Because if you take the commandments seriously, you know that you have failed. And if you take the demands of God in their full measure, you will hardly ever dare to appear before God in church. You would not dare to come in here and either claim your own righteousness or trot out your sins and lay them in front of God. To say nothing of daring to come to the table of the Lord's Supper and receive the actual, real, true, physical body and blood of Jesus. And that right there is where we connect with Martin Luther and the Reformation. Being at a loss as to how to ever find a loving God, how to ever escape knowing ourselves as eternally condemned, as eternally damned sinners. And at that point, all too many in our day just walk away from the thought of God as an actual living creator who calls us to know Him and to live with Him. And then, all too many in our day abandon religion as either pointless or piling on guilt. The point where everything changes, the pivot, if you will, the pivot where everything swings from the one to the other, well, we find it in Romans chapter 3, the righteousness of God manifested apart from the law. Think about that. Think about it for a while and think about it seriously. Righteousness manifested apart from the law? The righteousness of God with all the demands of being perfect and entirely holy that we know that we can never live up to? But now that righteousness coming to us apart from the law with its demands? And what Martin Luther discovered, and this is what set the Reformation in motion, is that the righteousness of God comes to us in Jesus. And it doesn't come to us with its demands and its condemnation in Jesus. It comes to us in Jesus, well, with the classic words from Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely, or being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Entirely free, entirely a gift, entirely all of God's doing and none of ours. And so, you see, we are back to the question we started out with. What does God want? And when you know that God wants for us to be sharing in His eternity by having His words and promises, words of life in Jesus, words of forgiveness from the cross, when you find out that that is what God truly wants, you ask, how much did God want that? We're going to play at this just a little bit. You see, what God wanted, He wanted so much that. And you respond with, how much? what he wanted. He wanted so much that, how much? So much that he put Jesus forward as a propitiation by his blood. And propitiation means a sacrifice offered up to be sacrificed to make things right. Again, what God wanted, he wanted so much that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let's go one more time with this. What God wanted, he wanted so much.
How much?
So much that, quote, God made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's from Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And you see, at that verse, Paul is showing us that it is so completely different a kind of righteousness. So that the righteousness that we have is someone else's righteousness. Someone else's holiness. And as Paul says it in Romans, it is where God's righteousness is described as, he makes sinners holy. And that's quite an achievement. He makes sinners holy. And Paul says, this is what Abraham found. The God who makes sinners holy. So when Abraham follows God, when Abraham hears God, when Abraham believes God, that is God making sinners holy. And Abraham attributes everything to the holiness of God. He can't do anything else. Why? He went to offer his son. And there on the mountain, he finds out that God provides the substitute. The ram, the lamb. On this mountain, the Lord will provide. John the Baptist, so many years later, stands there by the Jordan and points at Jesus and says, behold the Lamb of God. Oh, getting this wrong. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is what God the Father has done. So much he wanted us to be with him in all eternity that he would do this other very strange kind of righteousness. And Luther discovers this after years and years, decades of trying to figure out, how do I find a holy God who loves me? How do I come before him in such a way that I am not condemned? And the entire scope of the Bible says, you can't. You can't come before God and not be condemned. But here's the secret. You can't come before God without being condemned, but then God sends his son Jesus to step in and take the condemnation on himself and carry that for you. Jesus is the covenant. He's the new covenant. And it's not just words about him. He himself is the how and the where as to how God dwells with us. He is one of us to share our burdens, to pray for us, kneeling in the garden, to receive the pain in his own flesh that creates and makes the covenant with God. And there is this strange mirroring that goes on. Many, many times in the Bible you find this interesting mirroring. For example, Psalm 23 and John chapter 10. The Lord is my shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. And you see that's the believer and Jesus talking about each other. Well, here's the mirroring for this. In Jeremiah, God says about his promises, I will write it on their hearts. And then in Isaiah, he says, I have engraved you in the palms of my hands. Your name and your salvation is carved into the hands of Jesus as he writes his word deep in your heart. So, when we get to the gospel lesson, we find everything gathering together around the word of God. John 8, 31 to 36, it starts out, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And this is about the words of Jesus written into our hearts, his promises binding us to himself and he to us to Jesus and Jesus to us. And we are invited to come and stand before God, sinners bringing sins into the presence of a Savior who takes those sins away and makes those sins his own and becomes the propitiation, the offering to be slain to set us free. And then we are invited. How close does God want us to come to him? How close? So close that Jesus gives us his body, living and risen from the dead with all the power of Easter, that body to eat, to put on our tongues, to chew up and swallow. And in that way, how can you get any closer to the living, risen from the dead Jesus than to have the living, risen from the dead Jesus give himself to you, body and blood? Oh, and his blood, living and bringing the complete forgiveness of all of our sins, given us to drink. That's how close he wants us. In the themes of these days, so close that we are not even separated by a mask. That's how close God wants us to him. That's why the gospel finishes with an exclamation. You see, when the Son sets you free, how free will you be? You will be free indeed. You will be free to all eternity. You will be free in every part. When the Son sets you free, you share the freedom of God the Son. And that's eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.